Shabbat Shalom. This is Rabbi Jim Egolf. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's podcast. This week we're going to hear a little bit more of Seeds of Sun from the podcast last week, where I mentioned this wonderful Israeli jazz group that came to Beth David and just was a real treat to have with us. You'll hear some of their music included in this podcast, and I would encourage you to go and visit their website, seedsofsun.com. Because it's wonderful music, and it just really moves the soul and makes one feel wonderful. This week, we're going to take a little bit of a look at Vayetze, which is the Torah portion where Jacob finds himself running for his life away from his brother Esau. And he happens upon an interesting place, and behold, he lays down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, he finds himself in a dream. And in that dream, he looks and sees angels going up and down the ladder, and he wakes to say, "Behold, God was in this place, and I did not know it." We're going to take a look at that verse and try to determine what it might mean when it comes to Reform ritual practice today. Shavua Tov. Shabbat Shalom. Vayetze is a Torah portion that seems to reinforce the old adage, what comes around goes around. Jacob, fleeing his brother Esau due to stealing the blessing of the firstborn and some questionable dealings and wheelings and whatnot for the birthright, is now on his own. Without his mother to protect him, he must now face the cold, hard world. This is symbolized by the fact that the first pillow he has in the world after leaving his parents' house is a rock where he lies down for the evening. It is during this night that Jacob has a dream and realizes he is not in just any field, but where he lies is actually a holy place. There is a sacred nature to that rock and field, for in his dream he experiences angels going up and down a sulam, a ladder or bridge to heaven. He awakes to utter the phrase, "Achein yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati." Behold, God is absolutely in this place, and I did not know it. Reading this passage, there is an unmistakable sense of awe and wonder. In a place where Jacob thought God should not be, or perhaps Jacob thought could not be, God is there. It was a radical understanding, for the sense of the text was not that Jacob simply awoke, but that he shook as he woke, as if he had one of those really annoying dreams that we sometimes have when we're falling asleep, where we feel like we're tripping. He awakes to proclaim God's existence. And as if he were about to prove it, Jacob proceeds to try to enter into a contract with God for protection on his journey. Now, Jacob making a deal with God strikes us as odd. And if you were God, you might wonder. Then again, if you're God, you really don't wonder because you know everything. But still, can Jacob deliver on this? Jacob is not known for his, shall we say, stellar sense of ethics and morality, which is why he was lying in that field to begin with. Yet looking at it from Jacob's standpoint, he is struggling to express as best he can his acknowledgement of God in the world, and trying to relate that God the best way he knows how. What does Jacob know best? Contracts, usually for his own benefit, However, this time it is different, and we shouldn't just pass this by and write off Jacob as just giving a feeble attempt to make a deal with God. Jacob is faced with a new reality, that reality being having God in his life. And thus he is attempting to respond to this reality with an appropriate, if not somewhat misguided, offer. The point is that he has to acknowledge it in some way. And for the first time, Jacob may be seeking to make a deal where he actually has to be honest in his efforts. As I think about Jacob, I have to wonder about us. What happens when we arrive at a new reality and must confront that which we did not expect? Traditionally, Judaism sought to bring the new into a sense of balance with the rest of the world by giving it sacred tradition, sacred currency. When a baby is born, we have a bris or naming. We have something that addresses the new reality of a new life with ritual, so that the moment is elevated to sacred importance. The same applies to a wedding, where we raise up bride and groom since a new reality, a new family, exists within our community, and we are in a period of change. The same applies to funerals, as we come together to mark a new reality which is arriving at an understanding of what it means to not have a person physically present in our lives. Each is raised and sanctified, since each means a new reality and a new set of possibilities for the family and the community. Like Jacob, we each reach for our rocks to place our oil upon, so that the new reality is sanctified and special to us and our community. However, we live in a world where we have walked away from certain ideas about ritual and its use when it comes to another area of our lives. I need to introduce a term to you that I had to learn when I was in rabbi school, and we needed to continue this discussion. I'm speaking of the word theurgy. Theurgy means divine or supernatural intervention in human affairs, or the performance of miracles with supernatural assistance. This term and its concept is critical as we talk about some of the rituals we have dismissed in the Reformed Jewish world when it has come to dealing with our health and healing. There is often a misperception by many that if we do something ritualistic for a person when they are sick, we are attempting to force God's hand. It is as if there is a quid pro quo that for a certain number of blessings or mitzvot, we might be able to trade our way out of our sickness or infirmity and get well because we are not just good. We are going to get so much better if God gives us a chance. This seems to be how Jacob might have viewed his situation in that field. And I think many often believe that to pray when facing despair is equal to calling in the divine Calvary. However, let's look at some of those blessings and really see if they are tantamount to a Jewish abracadabra. Actually, disclosure and digression, abracadabra is actually a Jewish phrase, abaki diber, which comes from Aramaic, and you should just know that. So let's say you say Jewish magic, if you will. And let's start with one of the most well-known blessings, Misha Berach, which has had a massive comeback in the Reform movement due to Debbie Friedman. First and foremost, Misha Berach is not a prayer for healing alone. In fact, there is a Misha Berach for the sick, which we all know, but there's also a Misha Berach for Torah blessers. And there's a Misha Berach for B'nai Mitzvah. And there's a Misha Berach for people who support the synagogue. All these give voice and well wishes to those who are involved in some of the most vital mitzvot of a synagogue. There are many Misha Berachs, like there are many Kaddishes. If you say Kaddish, sometimes people say, well, that's the blessing or the prayer over the dead. It's just not that over the dead. There's a Kaddish for the rabbis after studying, and there's a full Kaddish, and there's a Chetzi Kaddish, which is a liturgical Greek chorus, if you will. It has many more than just this one use of being a prayer or blessing over the dead. Looking closely at the Misha Berach for healing, there is nothing in it about actually curing. It does not suggest that this prayer can replace any medicine or surgery or procedure one might medically need. It does, however, talk about healing, about arriving at a sense of what Rabbi Paul Kipnis calls chometz lev, the courage to go on and face the new day. Going back to the original notion of Jacob in ceremony, Misha Berach is about taking all the anxiety and fear that one faces in a new reality, in an illness, and attempting to mark that change so that the new reality can be faced and embraced with a sacred sense of self and community. It is so easy to see oneself as damaged when confronted by an illness. Misha Berach is a way to say, you are still a vessel of God, an image of the divine, and you still have sacred value and worth in your community. And your community believes that and hopes that you do as well. Jacob needed chometz lev, and we are not different when we face our new realities. Notice here there is no notion of theurgy in Misha Berach. There is no Sears catalog notion of trading mitzvot for miracle. It is about having the slow, steady, solid strength that one needs to face an illness with the support of one's community. If we try to live with denial of the fear and anxiety of an illness in our lives or the lives of those that we care about, we deny support and a sense of comfort, and we don't lend the notion that it is okay to be ill and still be a part of one's community. The issue we face in our reform rationalist thinking past is that there were some things we judged harshly, perhaps too harshly, and removed so we could be comfortable in our rational philosophical approach. As modern people, we wanted a modern Judaism that made absolute sense and had rational cohesion. There have been a few problems with this approach. The first is, what are you after? You're modern. But anyway, the second, though, is that just because we proclaim rational thought to be good does not lend to it any sense of perfection when it comes to dealing with the human condition. If rational thought were so completely tied into the human condition, then I wouldn't hear this sound on my bima. That sound were tissues being pulled out of a box, because on my podium for Shabbat mornings, I keep a box of tissues there. Because parents, and often rational parents, trained at the best universities our country or world has to offer, I watch these rationally trained parents in rational scientific fields galore melt into tears at a baby naming or a bar bat mitzvah. When we think that we are supposed to limit our emotional expression in our sacred places, we forget that we are still human with hopes and aspirations. And when we are able to touch these, it is always an emotional moment. We humans are a complicated mix of rational and emotional thoughts, and Jewish tradition knew this well. the fact that we attempt to contain these in our liturgy only tells us that the rabbis of old knew us better than we often know ourselves. It also teaches us that praying for healing and hoping for a cure is not alien to Judaism or the human condition. The words of Misha Berach don't compel God to act on our behalf. They do, however, give us the strength to hope in dark moments between a rock and a hard place, which is exactly where Jacob was when he sought to connect with God and have hope for his future. Shabbat Shalom. Adon Olam, Asher Malach, Beterem Kol, Yetzir Nivra.
Shabbat Shalom. We're so happy that we made it, and some of us didn't even make a mistake getting here. We took all the right roads, and we're delighted to make Shabbat with all of you. We're Seeds of Sun, and the idea behind Seeds of Sun would be planting a seed of Israeli sun in your hearts. So each one of you is leaving tonight with a seed. And it's your duty to take it, maybe plant it somewhere, cultivate it, give it some water and some plant food, and take Israel everywhere you go. And so we have a little sermon and song for you. And we're going to begin with an instrumental semi-meditation piece. I come from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a very incredible city, and it's also a very tough place. And everybody wants a piece of it, and nobody wants to share. So we believe there is a way of sharing, and the music came after reading the news every morning. Every morning, I know Israelis, they open up their laptops and they surf the newspapers, and we read the same old stuff. It's always negotiations, and we're approaching peace, and peace is upon us, but we're not quite there yet. So one morning I decided I'm going to write a piece of instrumental music, and maybe this is going to make a change. We called it What's New? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining me this week. Again, all the music that you heard here is available at seedsofsun.com. So please visit their website and support them. They have a wonderful talent and a wonderful way of bringing Shabbat and a taste of Israel to you and to your congregation.
Before we play our concluding number, I'd like to introduce everybody once again. From Tel Aviv, Israel, on the drums, Yuval Leon. he says it's okay to clap when I introduce him. From Switzerland, on piano, Mr. Manu Koch. I come from Jerusalem, Israel, on flute, Matan Klein. Thank you. From Belo Horizonte, Brazil, Gustavo Amaranchi on bass. From Herzliya, Israel, Meital Mualem, vocals. I promised love, hope, and what else? And peace. So we had a peace song a while back, Ose Shalom Bim Romav. We had a love song, The Prettiest Girl in the Kindergarten, and we had a hope song, Bashanaba. And now we're going to sing a song that includes peace, love, hope, and unity, because that's what we believe in. This is Hallelujah, and it was written for the 1979 Eurovision contest. Israel won first prize in Jerusalem, a big miracle, and it was translated into many, many languages. And again, we want to thank you so much for letting us be here, and we're seeds of sun. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.